Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Recently, I was reading an article about a part of the United States. It encompasses 12% of the landmass of the continental United States, and less than 1% of the population of the United States lives there. It stretches from the Canadian border all the way down to the Mexican border. It includes parts of North and South Dakota, Nebraska, Montana, Wyoming, Kansas, Colorado, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Texas. It's this thin strip of the country, north and south, and only 3 million people live there, all told. To put that in perspective, there are 3 million people in and around Denver, Colorado. All right? And this stretch of country from north to south, you know, the largest city in that area has 170,000 people in it. Now, the article that I was reading was talking about the geography of being just east of the Rocky Mountains. This area is also prone to wide temperature fluctuations. There's difficulty in agriculture. And then also way back, there was the fierce defense made by the native populations in the area sort of explain why there's just not many people who have settled there even to this day. Now, the truth is that strip of land might be in the middle of the landmass of the United States, but that's a place that's really on the edges and in the extreme, because not many people choose to live there. But those that do, they're a hardy lot, and they need to be sufficient in and of themselves. Now, I mention any of this because geography is a part of what we have heard from Scripture this morning. We hear both from Isaiah and from Matthew of places that people in their day knew, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Now, that was the geography up around Nazareth, up north. That geography was laughed over by some. It was passed through as quickly as possible by most people. It was in the extreme in Jesus' day. Close to Galilee, close to the Gentile territory, overrun with darkness. At least that's how Isaiah was seeing it. It was this land, lost in the shadow of Gentile temptation, lost in the persecution and violence of its day, this land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, this was what was in search of light and care. And from Isaiah, that light is promised, and in Jesus, that light has come. This is the hope that we find in Isaiah's message, because the light of God's love will come and it will increase joy. It will save us from our imprisonment and domination because God is with us. This light Isaiah talks about comes to all those in extreme. It comes to the outcast and imprisoned. It comes to the sick, the hungry, the poor. This light comes to banish the darkness. This light comes to cling to all of us when we are on the edges and find no hope and no peace. This is the light that Isaiah's audience is awaiting. This is the light that we celebrated all through Advent and Christmas and now into Epiphany. This light of God's love shines in Christ Jesus our Lord. This light of our hope arrives for all people. And the love of God is with us, and we receive the call. You see, the call that we are meant to hear today is the proclamation of Jesus as he begins his ministry. The proclamation of repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We are called to repent, to turn away from our wandering in the dark, our journey away from our Lord, and instead to turn back to God, because God's love is there. The light is there. The grace and forgiveness, the care and guidance, the assistance that Jesus gives us is always there. Too often, we're facing away from it all, trapped by the temptations of the world and our sinful selves. We are imprisoned by our weaknesses, imprisoned by others' exploitation, imprisoned by our sin. But the call comes for us to repent. to turn away from the darkness and to turn toward the light. That is what Jesus was doing as he began his ministry, calling to everyone and all of the people that would hear him, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, as near as with us. And God's love is just a turn away. And Jesus began that ministry at home where he grew up with his parents. Jesus began that ministry in that extreme area of Zebulun and Naphtali at the edges of syncretism and temptations. And he calls out concerning God's love and God's light. He calls out concerning our hope and peace that we might feel and share. Today, in the gospel story, Jesus starts those calls with Andrew and Peter to James and John. And we are all of us intimidated by their response. This call to repentance, this truth-telling that the kingdom of heaven is here among us, is not made to scholars or rabbis. It's not made to Pharisees or Sadducees, not to rulers or leaders. It's made to fishermen up north. This call is made to regular, normal people with no fancy claims or titles or anything, because they see Jesus. Now, maybe they've been watching and listening for a bit as they see Jesus, but they hear Jesus as he calls them to follow. Andrew, Peter, James, John, they may see the light that Jesus is bringing along with him. They may hear the promises of forgiveness, life, and salvation. But the amazing thing that they do is they drop everything and follow. Brought up on the promises of Isaiah, they drop everything and step into the light. I don't know about you, but I have always found that part of this story amazingly intimidating. Jesus speaks, and they drop everything to follow. You see, I believe that we read these stories because Matthew didn't want us to read a bunch of stories about people who turned Jesus down. Because there had to be some people who did that. Because people to this day turn Jesus down in his call to repentance. But what we see through Peter and Andrew, through James and John, is the power of the light, the strength of the love, the appeal of caring for the world as they all drop everything. Follow Jesus. We too are on the edges and in the extremes in many and various ways. The devil, the world, and our sinful selves are constantly tempting us. And in our weakness, we fall and we face the darkness and we find places to hide ourselves in the shadows. Into our lives, every single day, Jesus comes, shining with the light of God's love and calling us all to repent and to discover that the kingdom of heaven is right here at hand. We are not rabbis or scholars. We may not be rulers or leaders in the world, but we are loved by God. And this call of Jesus goes out to all, to CEOs and to principals, as well as custodians and auto mechanics, to nurses and EMTs, to hairstylists, teachers, farmers, accountants, people who work on factory floors. All of us can be in the darkness and at the extremes, but the love of God is here for us all, calling us into the light and then calling us to share the light. Those first disciples were called to follow, and they were promised that they would have an effect on the lives of the people around them. We receive that same call and those same promises. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? That is the daily question that we get to answer. Are we going to follow Jesus? Are we going to repent and turn back and discover God's love for us that provides guidance and strength, forgiveness and hope? Are we going to walk into each day with the kindness and the care that Jesus gives us all, sharing that with all the people we meet? Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling out to all of us. Will you come? Will you follow? Amen.